Jesus told us, where two or more gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where are you folks from? Kentucky? Is that right? What's your name?
Jeff
and
Jessica.
Alexis.
And David.
Why can't he talk for himself? Hi, David. How you doing? All right, I got a smile out of a little baby. I'm going home. See ya. Day has to go downhill from there. Well, we're glad you guys made it in. Had you guys planned on coming this weekend? Or? Oh, no. Man. Oh, well, all right. What part of Kentucky? Fort Knox. Okay. I've never been there. I've been to Paducah and places like that. I've been around there.
In.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys come again when we can stay longer, okay? I appreciate that. Anyway, yeah, that's always been a kind of worry of mine, that people would come in and a lot of people will. There's someone else pulling in out here. Good deal. A lot of people will call and ask me, are you going to be there or not? Yeah, I'll be here that Sunday. So anyway, we appreciate that. Appreciate y'all coming in. Anyway, we have got some weather moving in here, and we were kind of moving on our way over here, and it was kind of getting slick, so anyway, if you think by the time March comes around that the snow's over with, hi, come on in. How y'all? Where are you from? Yes. All right. Did you call earlier this morning?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good deal. That's all right. Anyway, if somebody ever says, well, we're in March, we probably won't get any snow.
Huh. Yeah.
Now we have experience with it. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we do anything else. Let's ask God to do what he said in his word, that where two or more gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we go before our Lord this morning. We ask him for his grace and for his help this morning. Ask him that he would lead our service and he would give us a safe trip home. That God would deal with our hearts today and use us and convict us and draw us to him. All right. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you, God, for the amazing grace that you have bestowed upon us. God, the wonderful, wonderful gifts that you have given us. And Father, we just thank you, God, for all kinds of weather. Lord, it was nice yesterday. Now it's snowing. And Lord, at least for us here in this area, Lord, you keep it interesting. Lord, I don't mind that. And I just thank you, Lord, for the goodness that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for letting us come in here safely. Thank you, Lord, for these people that have come and these visitors that have come. We ask you, God, Lord, that they would receive a blessing. I ask you, God, Lord, that we would all, Lord, be blessed by your presence today and by the outpouring of your love today and the outpouring of your mercy and your grace. And Father, Lord, maybe for some it's been a long week. It's been a hard week. Maybe they've had to fight some battles this week, God, that they weren't ready for. Battles, God, that they didn't do so well in. And Father, we just ask, God, Lord, that where we have failed, Lord, you would be strong. Where we are weak, God, you would be present for us. And Father, I pray, dear God, that you would just touch our hearts. Help us, dear God, to live the life that you've called us to live. Help us, Lord, to love truth. And Lord, to love it at all times. Lord, even if that truth convicts us. Even if that truth, God, steers us in a direction that we didn't plan on going in. God, lead us into that truth. Thy word is truth. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just open our eyes and our hearts, open up our minds, dear God, upon the teaching and preaching of your word this morning. And Lord, just help us to get some things settled in our heart. Lord, that we're going to live your way and we're going to do it your way. Lord, just bless again these people and bless this church service. And Father, Lord, just touch us in a mighty way, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What I'm going to do this morning is just kind of shorten everything, kind of combine church and Sunday school together. rather than us just taking up an offering, if you have an offering to give at the close of the service, just bring it up here and just lay it in one of these plates up here, and Rose will tend to it after the service. She'll take care of it tomorrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm just kind of praying on the way over here. As we were driving over here, I kind of made the decision that we ought to just, that we will get together and we meet together. I'm glad I did, and these folks have come in, and I'm glad we decided to have service. And then that I got to thinking about all the folks that would be on the internet. They don't have to drive to church. They have to walk down the hall and go to their whatever their computer is. And we appreciate that, and we'd like to do it for them. We will not be having a service tonight, just to let everybody know. So just kind of be planning on that. Don't watch Joel Osteen.
Amen.
All right. All right. There's a new Watchman video broadcast coming out today. Brand new series dealing with another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. And it's going to be a long one. It already is long, and it's going to take a while, but I want it to be an extensive teaching on what you and I should be looking for in the world we live in today. Our church, let me say this, and I'll tie it into what we're talking about this morning. Our church is one of thousands of churches in this area, in this country, in this world, and we're putting out some ideas out there. Come on in, Jimmy and Linda. I know. We all know you're late. Come on in, guys. Glad you made it. Surprised. So, but anyway, our church is putting a version of the truth out there. Now, there is only one truth. Amen? God's word is true. But our church is putting a version of the truth out there. There are other competing churches, and I use that term, and I think it's correct, because they're putting a different message out than what we are doing. And if they can put the message out that they are calling truth, and I know that it disagrees with what I know to be truth, then we have an obligation and a responsibility to put out something besides what they're saying. And so, I mean, that is a responsibility. It's an obligation. A lot of pastors, a lot of churches won't touch it. They'll just go along with everything. My mom was having breakfast at her house the other day, and she said that her and she's got two friends that she runs around with, Mo, Larry, and Curly. Is what they, I'm serious, that's what they are. They're the three stoojets when they get around. That's no joke. But anyway, they were down at Lake of the Ozarks here a while back, and they decided to, they got up on Sunday and they go to church, because that's how my mom was, that's how she raised us, and that's how they were. Got up on Sunday morning, and they found a church somewhere and pulled in. They said, after we made it through the coffee bar in the gift shop and the donut center, and everybody was going in with their coffee and their donuts and their danishes and their drinks and everything like that in the sanctuary. And I'm always thinking scripture. And I said, the apostle Paul said, what, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Okay. I mean, I don't believe that, you don't see me eat or drink in here. Okay. Jimmy comes in because I've trained him well. He come in, stood there at the door with his coffee, waited till he got done. And then we have designated this as the house of the Lord. Some people don't think much of that. But I do, and I think the Bible calls for that. The Bible talks about a meeting place where God's people meet. It is to be set aside for the worship of the Lord. It's not to be for anything else. And Paul was dealing with that because they had abused the Lord's Supper. They were bringing in supper. Paul said, "What, have you not houses to eat and drink in?" So the first thing they did was when they got through all that and they got in the sanctuary and they sat down. And I don't remember if she told me the service had started or not, but the longer they sat there, Mom finally spoke up and she said, "I don't feel right about this. Something ain't right here." And her friend Mary said, "Well, I'm glad you said something, because I ain't feeling, this ain't right." And they all looked at each other and they decided to get up and leave. And I told Mom, I said, you know what that was? I said, the Holy Spirit of God in you was knew the other spirits that were in that place. And I said, there is a contention there. There's enmity there. And so she said they went up, they got up and they went to another church that morning. But the competing ideas are out there. And what we want to do here is in dealing with this, like this video I'm releasing, another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. If it's not the Jesus as he's identified in this book, then it's another Jesus. And that's plain and simple. If it's a spirit that is not identified as to how the spirit works, identified by this book, then it's a different spirit.
Yes, sir.
If it's a gospel that is not explained in simplicity by this book, it is another gospel. And I'll say this. There's an easy way to denote whether or not it's the true gospel or not. It's very, very simple. Does this gospel that somebody's preaching require a performance of something in order for you to receive it? That's how you know. Now, some say that belief is a work. That's nonsense. Faith is not a work. If it was, then we'd be saved by works. A choice is not a work. Adam had a choice in the Garden of Eden. It's a choice. It is not a performance of an action. And so the real gospel is about your choice. Who are you going to follow? You're going to follow the tree of life? You're going to go after the tree of knowledge of good and evil? You're going to choose Jesus or Barabbas? I mean, things like that are just that simple in the scriptures. You're going to listen to the 10 spies that came back and said, we can't go. You're going to listen to the 2 that came in and said, yeah, we can go. God said we can go. That's the choice that you make. And then God does the performance after that. If Israel had chosen what Joshua and Caleb had told them, God would have performed his word on their behalf and through them as they went through the promised land. That's how simple it is. But because they chose not to go that path, God forced them to walk in the wilderness in a circle for 40 years until every one of them died out. That generation that made that choice died. And so anyway, that's how you spot another gospel. We're living in times right now, and we have been for about, I'd say, the past 130, 140 years or so, and some elements of this go all the way back, where people are looking at the scriptures and they're pulling something out of scripture that is not, does not follow in line with the context of the whole of the scripture. And they're using it to teach false doctrine and to teach false signs and lying wonders. Let me tell you where I'm going with this. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 12 and take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 13. Do you believe that it is possible that within the next, I won't say the next 10 years, 20 years, but do you think it's possible that within at least our lifetime or maybe our children's lifetime, that these things mentioned in the book of Revelation will begin to come to pass? Okay? If we believe that we are there, then it is our obligation, number one, to prepare ourselves. Number two, to prepare these children for what lies ahead. Because while I may be in a point in life where you cannot shake me from my faith, they're not. They need to be established and rooted and grounded in the Word of God and biblical principles. Because if not, when they're met with false doctrine and false ideas, they will be shaken. They will be troubled. And it's an obligation that we have as a church, as Sunday school teachers, to root them and ground them in the pure doctrine of the Scripture. In Revelation chapter 13, the Bible says verse 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." I've been studying horns for a long time in the Bible, and it's finally just kind of, I kind of have a peripheral idea of what horns represent. They represent force. They represent an enforcement. When you see animals in the animal kingdom with horns, what do they use those horns for? To push, to force their way. When you see two deer locked up in the woods, what are they doing? One of them's getting the does and the other one's going to have to run off and look somewhere else.
Domination.
That's what that represents. And so just kind of think about this. In that lamb with two horns in the scriptures, he uses those horns to enforce or to force or to bring people under his domination. You see that when it comes down to the part where in verse 16 it causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Notice that he causes them all. The two horns on this lamb, he is going to use, whatever they are, he is going to use to bring people to receive this mark voluntarily. Voluntarily. Nobody is going to be had a gun held to their head saying, take the mark or I'm going to blow your brains out. I do not believe that. He causes them. And cause, when you cause somebody to do something, it's kind of like we play these little mind games with our children. You can cause your children to do certain things without having to force them to do it. But anyway, that's the idea of it. So he has two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, which means that his doctrines do not come from the scriptures. His doctrines and his teaching and his prophecies come from the dragon himself, the devil. In verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he, notice this, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now I want you to hang on to that one, and I want you to go to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13 and Revelation 13 are companion scriptures. And the number 13, I think, here is indicative. If you look in Acts chapter 13, you'll see that Paul encountered a fellow by the name of Bar-Jesus. He was referred to as a false prophet. All right, in Deuteronomy 13, he said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, the perfect fulfillment of this is in Revelation 13. This false prophet is going to be the total perfect fulfillment of the prophecy of Deuteronomy 13. But along the way, there are partial fulfillments of this, even in this day that we're living in. There arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Is it possible that the devil's crowd can make things like signs and wonders happen? Well, absolutely. We see it here in Revelation 13. We see it here in Deuteronomy 13. Absolutely, they have power. They have magic powers, and they are empowered by devils. And the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Paul was talking about another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. And that's what's coming down the road, is a false prophet who rises up, does false signs, false wonders in front of everybody, and then leads people through his magic to go and worship the image of the beast. God said in verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out in the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So thou shalt put the evil away from the midst of thee. Notice that the false prophet, back up a few sentences here, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so the job of this false prophet is just like, why is there a tempter? Why is there a devil? Why were there two trees in the midst of the garden? Because we have a choice. God does not take away our choice. He does not take away our free will. We have a choice. And God himself said, for the Lord your God proveth you. Why did he allow a false prophet to rise up to prove to those people whether or not they were going to serve him or not? It's all about their choice. And so we make these choices. And I would say that if you will follow the scripture and let the scripture be your guide, then you will make the right choices. And this is where I'm going this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible tells us this. Verse 4, There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, that's number one. To another the word of knowledge, number two, by the same Spirit. Number three, another faith. Number four, the gifts of healing. Number five, the working of miracles. Number six, prophecy. Number seven, discerning of spirits. Number eight, diverse kinds of tongues. And number nine, the interpretation of tongues. Nine is a reference to the fruit of the womb or the fruit of a Christian life. You go to Galatians chapter 5, you'll see the nine fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and so on. These go along with precisely the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, there is a false version of this, and there is a true version of this. And I'm going to ask you the question this morning, do you believe that God deals with you and speaks to you and communicates to you through the Spirit of God? Let's say to your soul or to your spirit or whatsoever, do you believe that as a born-again Christian that the Holy Spirit and you communicate? Do you believe that? Okay, I absolutely do. When my mom was telling me about what was about her sitting in that church service, and she just said, "There's something ain't right. Something's not right here." And I don't think we ought to be here. Mary said, "You know what? I'm feeling the same thing. Let's get out of here." Okay? Now, I don't like to base my decisions, especially important ones, on how I feel. I don't like to do that. Now, if I'm feeling bad and got the flu and everything like that, then I will decide to stay in bed that day. And that's I can handle that one. Okay? I don't like to base my decisions on my emotions, on my whether or not I'm feeling good or this and that and the other. I like for there to be a logic to what I'm thinking. Good morning, Bonnie. Good morning, Roy.
You can start now.
Can I? Already did. But what I like to do is, and especially in this situation here, Mom and Mary and this other lady, they knew that they was not supposed to be in that place. And they got out. Afterward, and as soon as she's telling me this, my mind is going to Scripture, and I'm just pulling Scripture up. Well, here's why. Number one, have you not houses to eat and drink in? In other words, they're in violation of Scripture. They basically was just running a coffee shop is what they were doing. And then I don't know, you know, everything that goes on in that church, but I'm sure that there was Scriptures it being violated in that church service. That's why they left there, why the Spirit wanted them out of there. And so I'm one of these that I believe that God will, I use the term speak to me through the thought processes of my mind, things like that. But as of that point, when I receive something from the Lord or when I receive something into my mind and a thought occurs to me, I have an obligation after that to do what the Bible says to do with it. It says to do what? Test the spirits.
Yes, sir.
Test the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. Now, if it's of God, it is of here.
Amen.
Plain and simple. And the setup doctrine that people are falling for is that they're being told by their leadership, not everything that God is doing is in the Bible. So if you hear a word and it's not in the Bible, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the rule book. It's not in the guidebook. It's not in the posted instructions for every way of life that you and I live. It's not in the manual. And if it's not in the manual, don't do it. Every place you work, there's a manual. There's a code book. There's a guidebook. And those people have spent, if you work for a big company, they've spent years and millions of dollars doing research. Lawyers are writing this stuff out because following the manual protects the company. If you follow the manual, you do what the company does, and all of a sudden they get sued, you're off the hook if you did what the company told you to do. They're the ones that are on the hook for it, and they say, you know what, this is according to case law, and this and that, this is why we did it, and so on and so on. You follow the manual. But if you go against that and just go out on your own, The company says, you know what? We had procedures. You broke procedures. You went against policy. We're not liable. We're kicking you out the door. And that's how it is. And there's wisdom in going to the scriptures of God to find out whether or not these things be so. Let's be Bereans. Bereans, upon hearing this new gospel that never heard before, they're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, never heard this before. They decided to do exactly what you and I are supposed to be doing. They went to the scriptures. They went to the scriptures daily to see whether these things are true or not. And I'd say be a Berean. Be a Berean. That is the opposite of the Athenians. The Athenians were the kind of people that whatever new was coming into town, that's what they wanted. They got a new way, got a new doctrine here, got a new psychology lesson here for the church, and whatever is new, that's what they jumped on. And most of the churches right now are leaping as Athenians forward into what they don't realize is doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. They're leaping into these things without testing them against the Word of God. And I'll tell you where that starts. That starts on the Bible college level, because in the seminaries and Bible college, and I know exactly what I'm talking about, they tell you that not everything in this Bible's right. They spent 3 years teaching me. Oh, now this is a textual mistake here. There's a variance here between the Codex B and the Codex A, and there's we don't know exactly what this really means. We don't know if it even says this or not. So by the time I got out of Bible, 3 years, didn't even graduate. I didn't have to graduate to start doubting the Bible. They got me in 3 years, Jim. 3 years time, and I'm already going, well, it probably ain't right there, and it's probably mistakes here, and I'm going to look at the Greek, and that's all it took. Didn't take much to move me out of it. And so I had it in my mind that the Bible, maybe the Bible didn't address everything. Or maybe if Jesus said this, and I was out in Oklahoma and Texas, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and Texas, Dallas, that is a hotbed for the charismatic movement. And just about every radio station out there is charismatic. And I'm hearing all this stuff. And they're saying, well, the scripture says if you just have faith and believe, it'll happen. And I'm trying to reconcile in my mind how that is. Because I'd been taught that, well, I don't see it that way. And it was just a lot of questions in my mind, compounded with the idea that I wasn't sure if this Bible was right or not. But when the Holy Ghost helped me with that issue, immediately, I know that this Bible's right. So when the Bible talks about having a word of wisdom, I absolutely believe that the Holy Ghost, that we are in communication. Our spirit communes with the Holy Spirit a lot. I would say probably constantly. We're probably not aware of a lot of it. We are communing with God. We are His children, and He is not going to be silent to us. And the Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will lead us in just operations of life, how to perform things in life, things at work. Should I do this or not? Decisions that we make. Should we buy a house? Should we buy a car? Should we just keep what we got? Things like that. If you'll ask God, He'll tell you. If you'll ask God, He'll tell you. If you a new shirt, ask God, He'll tell you. You say, well, I don't know about that. Tell me how small it has to be. How big does it have to be before God gets involved? You learn how to trust God in the little things. Big things are no big deal. And so anyway, words of wisdom. These are gifts now that the church. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us to help us operate, to help us live, to help us discern, to help us move forward, to help us witness and evangelize people, to help us in our preaching, to help us in our teaching, to help us in leadership roles and things like that. These are gifts that God gives us that are still applicable to this day. But now that we have the whole codex of the Bible, what we're going to see is that every one of these gifts will be bibliocentric. That means they'll be centered in the Bible. You'll be able to find them in the Bible. So let's look at it. Number one, a word of wisdom. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Here's what I'm going to lay out for you. A word of wisdom. What greater word of wisdom can anybody have other than the Word of God. The written, scripturized, translated, preserved, infallible Word of God. If you'll watch things like 700 Club, you'll watch Benny Hinn, you'll watch these people, you'll watch some of these ladies. I don't know if they're still on or not, but on TBN years ago, they used to have these gals on here. They had their own show, and one was an older woman, and you could tell she was the head Jezebel, and then her daughter was there with her, both blonde and everything like that. Boy, I'm talking about Jezebel. They had Jezebel written all over them. And they had their own little talk show, TV show on TBN for about 30 minutes a day. And it was all about how you could have this and you can have your tongues. And at the end of the show, every show, they would have a little tongue lesson. All you got to do is loosen your jaw and just let her flop up and down with some words. And all of a sudden, you're going to get your language coming out. You got to practice it first and work it up. And then after you work it up for a while, it'll flop out. Listen, that's unbiblical. That does not fall in line with the contents of the Scripture. I don't see them on the day of Pentecost. I don't see Peter showing up and said, you know what, I'm getting revelation. Hang on. God said do this. That's not what happened. No. It's like a fish up on the bank. Okay? I know you were thinking that. You watch these people and they will pretend words of wisdom. Oh, Shamba Latoya. Latoya Tito. God's given me a word of wisdom here. And they'll say stuff. And most of the people following them accept that and pay them thousands of millions of dollars for that. That's one of the signs you got a false prophet. Okay? Here's how you can know. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now I want you to think about this. The Proverbs of the son of David. Who is the son of David? The real son of David is Jesus. Okay? To know what? Verse 2. Wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Young men need discretion. They need to know when to do something and when not to do something. Okay? Most young men in this country do not have any discretion whatsoever. When you walk around with your pants down to your kneecaps, you are not being discreet about anything. You're being lascivious is what you're doing. You're showing your parts and you're showing your immorality in front of everybody. And I just want to pull them up for them. Well, you shouldn't have had them down. Yeah. A wise man, verse 5, will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. See that word interpretation right there? That's a gift to the Spirit. And it comes through wisdom. Comes through the operation of the Holy Spirit. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. So he's telling you about proverbs and things like that. Parables. And of how Jesus talked. When Jesus talked and gave parables. If we were to look in Mark 4, here Jesus is given a parable. Sower goeth out to sow seed, some fell by the wayside and was eaten up by the fowls of the air. Some fell upon stony ground and jumped up, but after the sun came out and burned it up, some fell among thorns and the thorns choked it out. Some fell on the good ground. And everybody's going, okay, that was a nice farming lesson, Jesus. We appreciate that. But then he sat his disciples down. He said, now listen to what I'm going to tell you. Let me give you the interpretation of that. Let me tell you what this really means so that you're not going, well, I feel that it means this. Don't care about your feelings. Here is the interpretation of what this means. And they came out of the mouth of the Savior. Jesus said, the words that I give to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so the Spirit, if the Spirit's going to give you a word of wisdom, it will always be within the confines of the written, preserved Word of God. Okay, that's what it's always going to be in. And so in verse 7, look at this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. He wrote this down because God, the Holy Spirit, is leading him to do this, because over here in 1 Corinthians 12 now, he's talking about words of wisdom. And here's the thing. The pseudo false prophet, these fake phony preachers everywhere, will pretend to receive words of wisdom. And those words of wisdom have but one end and one aim. And that is to lead you to another Jesus and another gospel and put you under the discretion or the leadership or the dominion of another spirit. That's their goal. That's their purpose. These are not just, well, they believe this way and I believe this way according to the Bible. They have an agenda. The spirits that are working this have a deliberate agenda to bring people under the dominion of the beast and the false prophet in the last days. That's absolutely how it's working right now. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Look over in chapter 4. Verse 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let mine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. His commandments, his words. You see those words there in the scripture. They refer to the written text of the word of God. Retain them. You know what that means? Read them. Memorize them. Read them. Memorize them. Read them. And if you say, well, I'd have a problem memorizing. The more you read, the more you'll know. The more you read, the more you'll memorize. Okay? You can probably remember jokes that are told to you. You can probably remember things out of movies. You can remember instructions. Wife gives you to go to the store. Whatever it is, we can retain a lot of things. And the more you'll read this book, the more you'll remember what it says. Okay? There are passages that I've read and studied so much, I just know them by heart and can quote them by heart. I know what the Bible says. But here's how it's going to work. The more scriptures you get in here and in here, what's going to happen is that you'll be in a situation kind of like my mom. You'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden you'll see something, and boom, God will pull scripture. It's like you got an index file in your brain of scriptures. And you'll see something, and the Holy Ghost will go, pull that little card out there, and it's got scriptures on it. You're going, oh, that's a violation of scripture right there. I guarantee you the Holy Spirit's not in this place. Okay? That's how that works. The Spirit will work in you. You're not feeling right. It doesn't sound right. It's just things not right. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost now hits you. If it's not already here, then what's going to happen is that you're going to get your Bible out one day and you're going to be reading this. Boom, there it is right there. And you'll remember. It may have to be a month later or 6 months down the road or whatever. You'll read scripture and go, that's exactly why God didn't want me in that place. Okay? And I'll say this to you, okay, because I am so unconcerned about whether or not I dominate over you or not. I couldn't care less about that. I want you under the wisdom, the guidance of the scriptures. You get this Bible in your head, and that way if I ever say anything that doesn't sound right to you, and you're not sure whether it's right or not, you go back to the Bible. Or, if you already know it, and I say it, you know that I directly contradicted what was in the scripture, you immediately know that what I said was not true according to the Word of God. Most people will not do that. Most people will be like little sheep going into a church. Feed me. And whatever comes out of that pulpit, they'll eat it up without any discretion whatsoever. And they buy into it and believe it. Well, you need to understand, we hired this preacher because he's got a doctorate in divinity and theology, and he studies Greek and Hebrew, and he knows all this and that and the other. I don't care. Boy, I got into it one time with some preachers. A young guy that I knew in a church, he was actually one of my roommates in college, and we didn't get along very well. And he popped up, he was a deacon, he popped off in this. He said, I think we ought to pay our preacher more because he's got a degree. I think he deserves more because he got a degree. And I went, I don't agree with that. And I said, it's not because I don't have a degree. I said, having letters behind your name does not make you a better pastor, doesn't make you more spiritual, does not make you closer with God. All it tells me is that you wasted a lot of time and a lot of money somewhere down the road. Okay? He didn't like my answer, but I didn't care. Okay? But anyway, that's what that is. It's all about the words, keep my commandments and live. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Do not decline from them. Do not walk away from them. Do not separate your life from the words of God. He said, now watch this. He said, get wisdom and get understanding, forget it not. That means that in most cases, the wisdom and the understanding that you're going to get from the Bible is going to come to you before something happens, not after. Okay? It's almost like it's, why do military people train as hard as they do? Why do they do that? That may come along in the future. You know why? Because military, the guys that are training them know that this will come to pass because this was where I was in 20 years ago. They know that's how it is. And the Army doesn't do anything unless it writes a manual about it. It writes a procedure about it. It writes it out. So this is a military code. This is what we follow. This is what we do. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Look there. Proverbs 23, verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Right there. This is why a lot of church people don't like the Bible. They have been taught, they've heard it from the big guys, they've heard it from the preachers, they've heard it from everybody that it's foolishness, that it doesn't, well, God's bigger than the Bible. They hear all this stuff constantly. And they're being led to decline away from the words of God and what they're getting that sounds like wisdom. Because Paul talked about that what we teach is not with man's wisdom. And man has a style of wisdom that sounds right. You ever read a fortune cookie? Don't lie. Okay? I don't know how it is now, but years ago, back when they wrote fortune cookies, they'd find some little thing that Confucius said. Who was he? I don't know who he was. He was not a man of God. He was not an apostle. He was not a prophet of God. I couldn't care less. But that is the wisdom that they've accepted. A lot of sermons now are laced with what so-and-so said over here. Okay? Marilyn Monroe said this. Who cares? John Kennedy said this. Okay? Winston Churchill had this to say about it. Mahatma Gandhi said this, and I hear sermons that are laced with sayings from some man, what he said about it, what he said about it, what he said about it. That's not preaching. That is not preaching the Word of God. That is not giving them the incorruptible words of God. It is giving them the corruptible words of man's wisdom. And I'll tell you this, that in itself is a mark that tells you that there's something in that sermon that will cause you to stray away and decline from the guidebook of the Word of God, and it's going to lead you to a different Savior, a different gospel, and a different spirit. If they cannot find what they're preaching in the words of God, that means they have to go out and find somebody else that whose name you will recognize and find somebody else that says it so you'll accept it, and most people do. And I would tell the people that are watching today, you're sitting at home and you're going to get tired of not being in a church somewhere. You're going to get up and go walking around looking for a church. I'm giving you the signs to look for. If you hear if you hear a thee and a thou out of the verse, well, okay, that sounds good. And as they're preaching, let me tell you, Ronald Reagan said this. Okay, Flip Wilson had this to say. That means that they either didn't spend the time to look, or they could not find what it was they were trying to preach out of the written Word of God. And if it's not there, it almost always is going to veer in the direction of another gospel, another spirit, and another Jesus. Almost always. Okay? Wisdom is going to come from the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. You turn there. Jeremiah 8, 9. Proverbs 23, speak not in the ears of a fool. He will despise the wisdom of words. So it's foolishness for you to despise the wisdom of the words of God. This is where your wisdom is going to come from. Jeremiah 8, verse 9. The wise men are ashamed, and they are dismayed, and what? Taken. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed, and taken. Lo, they have rejected the what? Word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? There it is, right there. You have no wisdom if that wisdom is not contained in the Word of God. And I don't care if you say, well, no, the Spirit's giving me this. Hold on. It's downloading now. 50%, 80%, 90%. It's a little slow today. Okay, I got it. That's how they're going to tell. That's how they pretend to give you their little wisdom and their little words of wisdom. If they can't go to the Scripture. By the way, most of these guys, that's a lazy man's way of doing it, by the way. If I was a lazy preacher, I would not spend all my time looking through the Bible for things to preach on. If I'm a lazy preacher, what I do is I waste my time all week, pretend that I'm studying, buy a sermon from Rick Warren, because he sells them, download it, look over it, say, well, I can do that, hand the notes to everybody, get up and look cool for 30 minutes, and go about your way. That's what I would do. A man that has been working the work of God, he will give you Scripture. He will give you Scripture. He'll give you more Scripture. He is searching that word. Now, I will admit that in today's world, God's made it a lot easier for me, because I'm a software guy. Okay, I've got always in front of me, whether it's the phone, the tablet, the computer, whatever. I just know how to study. We have made it, come on in. We have made it simple for everybody to tap in to what it is that we're, to what it is, how I study, because we had a lady, she volunteered to do this. She wrote Bible search software, and it's on our website. It is our church's own Bible search software. Okay? Actually, it belongs to the community. It's community software, but anyway. So that you can download that. She's now made it available for Windows, Mac, or Linux. So if you're a Mac person, you put it on your computer. She's working on an Android app for your tablet or your mobile phone. And it searches, it does one thing, and it searches the Scriptures. You give it a word. You get the word word, and you can study the word word all throughout the Scriptures and find out what the Bible says about that word. You want to know about lions? You just type in lion or lions, and you can search the Scripture and find out everything God wants you to know about lions, about how to identify the lion from the tribe of Judah from the roaring lion, the devil. You'll be able to discern that. And that's another gift that we're going to get into a little bit later on. But it's done by searching the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures, searching the Scripture. And so he says here in Jeremiah 8, the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed, and they're taken. Who took them? Good morning, Wayne. I hate to tell you this, but how are the roads? Really? All right, we'll hang around a little bit longer for the people that just came in, all right? The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Ask yourself the question, who took them and where did they take them to? Who took them? The enemy did. The enemies will take you. That's what enemies do. They come in and they take people. Where did they take them to? They took them to where no doctrine was going to be heard. The words of God are not going to be found. And so here you have the wise men, those who we are entrusting with telling us the true gospel. They are ashamed and they are dismayed. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? And so if I don't care if it's me, I don't care if it's your grandpa, I don't care if it's David Jeremiah, Joyce Myers. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Billy Graham. I don't care who it is. Whoever it is you're listening to on Christian radio or Christian TV shows or reading their books, Max Lucado, I don't care who it is. If you say, well, he's written 20 books. Who cares? Who cares how many books he's written? Well, but he's got, you know, he's been around and he's counseled thousands and millions of people. Who cares? What if he told them it was all wrong? What if everything he told them was all wrong? Then you're just going to be added to the group of people that followed after something that was not true according to the Word of God. And so take everything that is given to you and test it against the written words of God. Test it against what you know. Do you know? You have to settle it in your mind. Do you really know that this is absolutely right 100% of the time? And if it's not, then we don't have a measurement. How can the house be built without a standard, without measurements? Those of you who have ever tried to put together anything or build anything, there has to be a standard. You got two guys doing carpentry work trying to frame up a house, and one guy's tape measure is about a half inch off. You can't stretch wood. You can't do it. Okay? Even in drywall, when you hang drywall, you got to remember that tape is 2 inches wide. And when I hung drywall, Wayne, I usually had it in my mind, well, the tape's 2 inches wide, so I think it'll cover. Okay? Tape's got to have something to stick to. Amen? Okay? But there has to be a standard. And in most pastors' mind, there is no standard. What they want you to do is they want you to measure life's happenings up against what they told you. They're the experts. And I don't know if you recognize this. A lot of times, most... these big radio preachers and whatever, it's all psychology now. It's all, let me give you a little therapy lesson. Let me give you a new psychology lesson. Let me teach you some psychological methods that'll help you. And if what they say does not match up to the Word of God, then what they said is wrong. That's not wisdom. What wisdom is in them if they have rejected the Word of God? Okay? Let me read some of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. There he said it right there. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul had real power and he had the real Spirit of God on him because he had the words and the doctrines of God. He was taught them and he was in the process of writing them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He's also telling you now about how to use discernment when someone is preaching or teaching a lesson. So number one, I've told you that if you're listening to a sermon and they're up there telling you, now so-and-so said this and so-and-so said this and I heard this the other day and I thought it was good and this and that and the other. They actually sell in a lot of Christian bookstores books on quotations of non-biblical people that you can use in your sermons. I almost bought one because I've just heard in my younger days, I heard that that's what everybody's doing. And so I guess I better get something like that so I can have wise sayings to put in my sermons. God almost let me fall for that junk. And God decided, Hoggard, I'm going to make you work. Okay? Because I had a real problem with laziness a long time ago. God said, Hoggard, I'm going to make you work. Okay, God. So God showed me how to work. And I'll tell you something. Once you learn how to do it, it's easy. It's easy. Seven times a week, I'm in front of a camera or a microphone, and I can tell you, people say, well, how do you do all that? I can tell you that God has helped me so much along the way that it's practically easy for me to get up and do what it is I'm doing. Because all I've got here is just pages of scriptures. Okay? One after another. And it wasn't hard to put this together, by the way. Let's see here. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let me show you what that is. Okay? Let's see here. Let me come up with a good one here. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone. Okay, you've heard that from the Bible before. Okay? You've probably heard something that goes like this. Back in ancient Jerusalem, when builders would work, it was a meticulous process of looking at each and every stone that they used. And they had something or another that they used to judge whether a stone was fit and proper for the particular work that they were doing or not. And if it didn't match up with this thing here, then they would reject the stone and they would use something else. Sounds good, doesn't it? I made every bit of that up, every scrap of that up. I don't have a clue how they used to do stonework 2,000 years ago. I don't have a clue. I don't have the first concept in my mind of how somebody did something. I had heard, Wayne, it is easier for a man to go through a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Back in Jerusalem, some 2,000 years ago, there were these doorways that went through the walls that were very, very small. And what had to happen was that before your camel could go through there, you had to take all the stuff off the camel, and the camel would have to get on its knees and work its way through there. And what that the eye of a needle was really just those small openings in the wall that the camel had to get on its knees and remove its burdens first and then go through there. Now that I've heard. I've heard that probably a dozen times. I don't trust that. That means nothing to me. But you don't understand. This was written by Hebrews 2,000 years ago in their language that they understood, and they all understood what this meant. No, what I know from this book is that it is a book of present truth.
Amen.
And it is presently inspired by the word of by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
I don't need someone to give me a history lesson on something outside of this Bible to tell me what this Bible... Can I tell you what Jesus said? He said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Who in here has ever tried to thread a needle?
Amen.
I used to make fun of people who had to look down like this to do everything. And I ain't making fun of you no more. Man, I can't see nothing anymore. I ain't kidding. I got to turn lights on. I have floodlights everywhere just so I can see stuff. Did you know that Jesus meant exactly that? Listen, if he said it, he meant it exactly the way it sounds. But that was a Hebrew idiom, and that was... No, this is my Bible. And it means what it says in every turn. I don't need... And that's what he said in comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. So instead of reading somebody's commentary, instead of reading the ancient history of Mesopotamia, instead of reading this and reading that, why don't you just read some more of this until God gives you the answer? That way you can... That way, see, what you've done, right here in 1 Corinthians 12, that's spiritual because it's the Spirit of God. Back here in Proverbs 3, that's spiritual because it's the Spirit of God and it's the Word of God. You know then that that's exactly what it means and you trust it. And that's not corruptible. Once you know the truth, once you know the real truth and Word of God, it's not corruptible. Because once you establish yourself that this is the right Bible and everything it says is right, so and you know for a fact, and someone else comes off with that nonsense, you know for a fact that it's absolute, that it's right, that it's the Word of God. And if there's anything that I want to do with helping people is to assure them in their minds that if they didn't get it from here, they didn't get it. If they did not get it from here, they did not get it. It won't last. It's corruptible. Somebody else can... If you believe that nonsense about a camel going through a little gate in a wall, then somebody else can feed you something else entirely that's not even in the Scriptures. And there's a point to this. It's to subtly lead you away from the establishment and the established Word of God. It's what it's doing. That's the point behind it. So when you read something in the Bible and you don't understand what it means, compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And by the way, did you know that this King James Bible is its own best dictionary?
Amen.
You don't understand a word in here? Keep reading. or download the software and look at that word in other places in the Bible, and God will show you. He'll define that word for you. I've found that I don't know how many times. There's been times when I cheated a little bit and went to, now I do like a Webster's Dictionary. The early Webster's Dictionary, the English language, Webster actually used Bible verses to give descriptions of his definitions. Okay, so that's got a little bit of trust with me. But I don't know how many times that I've looked up a word in the Webster's Dictionary, saw the meaning, looked down at the verse, and there it was right there. The meaning of the word was right there in the verse. I just didn't know what it was. Okay, so if I asked you, what's your name again? Lori. Lori, if I asked you, go get me a besom. Can you do that? Taylor, won't you run downstairs and get me a besom, please? Huh? Is that water? Well, you know what that means? Okay. Who in here knows what a besom is? Okay. Two people, because they've heard me talk about this. Okay. Let me give you a verse in the Bible where the word besom is. And they'll say, see, you need an updated translation to get out all those old archaic words because you don't know what they mean. So let me give you the verse that it's in. God said, I will sweep them with the besom of my fury. I will sweep them with the besom of my fury. What is it, Sterling? It's a broom. Okay. By the way, I see the connection to what's going on in the world always in the Bible. When I say broom, what's one of the things that you think of? Who said a witch? Bingo. Why do witches use brooms in their rituals? That's not just make-believe. It's factual. I won't even tell you the vulgar connotation that it is. But why do witches use a broom in their rituals? Because they're acting out the judgment of the Word of God. And I will tell you this. Because people are rejecting this book, witchcraft is moving in to the church in major ways. God meant exactly what He said. When He said, I will sweep them with the besom of destruction, here come the witches with their brooms moving into the church to sweep out the doctrines of the house of God and replace them with doctrines of devils. That's how I can see what's going on out here. I look at it out here, and I look in here. Here it is right here. God said exactly that was what was going to happen. So you always compare spiritual things. If you're reading in a verse, I don't know what that means. God, show me. God, you show me what this means. I'd like for you to show it to me now, but if you want me to wait, I'll wait. But God, you show it to me. Did you know that God will not forget that prayer? A year after I prayed a certain prayer, God showed me and fulfilled what I'd asked Him to do in that prayer to the letter. In fact, He actually fulfilled it better than what I prayed it. Okay? And I'm just telling you, that's how it works. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Turn there very quickly. Colossians 3:16. Wayne and Jan, we're going to go home here in a little bit. Is that all right? Okay. Yeah. We're going to buzz out of here in a little bit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There it is right there. The word of Christ. That is His Bible. That's the book that He's taking out of the right hand of God. That's the book that He has open in Revelation 10. The Word of Christ. It is the Spirit and the Word, the written Word together. And He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, these two ideas are together for one reason. Music. Your music should be, if somebody asked me, what constitutes Christian music? Well, number one, I think Christians ought to write it. I think if it's Christian music, now I'm going to give you a song, and you probably heard of this. Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. How many of y'all know that song? Written by a lesbian. Written by a lesbian. Okay? Not going to sing it no more. Okay? I don't trust it. I don't trust that song. Who knows who's writing the music that's being sung in the churches now? Who knows who's writing this stuff? Where is it coming from? Let me kind of give you a little explanation of what's going on. Hand me a hymn book there, Jim. Okay? Here, you need to understand, the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? Love of money is the root of all evil. These publishing companies, they spend a lot of money putting these songs together and putting them in a formatting way and printing out these books with these covers and everything like that. These hymn books usually go for about $20-25 a piece. Okay? A church that's going to buy, how many hymn books do we have in here, Lisa? About 100, something like that, maybe? Okay? A church that's going to buy 100 song books, that's $2,000. Okay? How often are they going to do that? How often is a church going to buy new hymn books? Some churches won't buy them until they run out of duct tape. Okay? That's fine with me, amen? Because the song's still good in it, all right? Okay? How often will a church buy hymn books? The publishing companies realize that a church will buy a hymn book probably once every 10 to 15 years. They'll buy new hymn books. Okay? So they'll make a sale once every 15 years. They figured out. First of all, they sent letters out to all the churches called the copyright licensing something another. We got them years ago, sent letters to all the churches saying, did you know that if you record your services, you're violating the law because you're singing copyrighted material and now it's recorded on your cassette tapes? You're breaking the law. So you get hooked in with us and pay us a fee every month and we'll cover for you. Everything you do will be covered. Oh, and then here's what happened. The churches started transitioning from the hymn books to the wall. So they said, now if you copy the lyrics to a song out of your hymn book and display it upon your screen, you're breaking the law because you made an illegal copy of that song. You're breaking the law. Now you pay us every month and we'll cover you for that. So here's what happened. Instead of a church, now they've gone to this. Instead of a church buying a hymn book every 15 years, spending a couple grand, these churches now get into a deal where they buy the song. The new music comes out every 3 months. Brand new music, Brian. Brand new. So a new group of songs will be sent to that church for that 3 month period. And the church will learn these songs and play them. They have the right to put them up on the screen. They have the right to broadcast them. They have all these rights now that they can have. And the church is now buying brand new music every 3 months. From the instead of buying a hymn book every 15 years, now they're buying music every 3 months, paying $200 or whatever for it. It's money. Good money, big money. And the question I have is, who's writing these songs? Who's writing this music? We don't know. Let me give you one. I don't know. We used to hear it at camp all the time. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. You ever heard of that one? You heard of that song? Okay. It is a perversion of a song. It's the NIV version of one of the Psalms. It's not Shout to the Lord. What is it? I can't remember which one it was, but one of the songs, I looked it up and I'm going, well, that's not there. And I looked in the NIV and it was almost word for word. You're singing NIV verses in your church. Okay. That, and so look at what he said here. He said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is why you were sitting in, you went to somebody else's church because you're on vacation, and you went to that church and they started singing this stuff and it didn't sound right to you and you couldn't quite put your finger on it. It's because it did not match with the word of God. There was something about it that did not match with the word of God. And that's why it didn't feel right to you. There was just something not right about it. Now, I'll tell you this. The devil loves to grab you in by graduation. You start accepting it. And then all of a sudden now, you don't care what this book says anymore. And I want to tell you something. I nor you never want to get into a situation in life where you don't care what this book says anymore. So if that song does not come from this book, it's not right. God did not author, God did not inspire that song. Now you take these old songs, I just opened this up here. Let's see, I will praise him, I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Is that biblical? Absolutely. That is as biblical as you can get. And most of these songs will not even touch the blood, nor much less the sin stain that's on people. They won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. By the way, if it says you, if it's praising you, I don't know who that is. Amen? Oh, you want your... Okay, I'm sorry about that. All right. Anyway, Let's go back very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then I'm gonna kind of close her off here. Good morning, Mark. How you doing, buddy? We're almost. I hate to tell you this. We're at the end of our service, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I tweeted. I sent a tweet out on the way over here. I'd had Matthew write it out for me, so I wasn't driving and texting at the same time, saying we're gonna have a shortened service, 9:45 to 10:45 this morning. And that always shows up on the website. So I apologize for not getting the word out to everybody, all right? How are the roads, by the way?
Here they're fine,
not in St. Louis. Okay. Well, yeah, everything's kind of moving this way. So anyway, praise the Lord. One more glance at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what the Bible says in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And I'm going to say to you that these sayings that I'm showing you, that I'm presenting, these ideas that I'm giving you out of the Scripture, I don't want God's people to be ignorant. I do not want them. And I will tell you, you guys, I love you people, and I love this church, and I want you to be equipped. I want you to, I think that you know by now that I'm going to give you, to the best of my ability, what's out of this Bible. But we're encountering people, if you're into social networking, things like that, you're running into people that are ignorant. And when you try to tell them, You asked me something the other day about something. I said, just forget it. Most people on Facebook, when you try to correct them, all they do is get mad at you and want an argument out of you. And I'm just learning, just walk away from it. And if somebody does it on my page, I block them out because I don't let anybody spread false doctrines on my page. And people are getting mad at me. Well, this is about, you know, the market. Well, if they want to post it somewhere else, let them post it. They're just not going to. It'd be like letting them come in my church and say, okay, now I'm going to give so-and-so. He's a Hebrew roots. He's going to tell you how you need to keep the law. Let him come up here and stand up here and tell you. I'm not going to do that. I told somebody, if somebody come in my church wanted to hand out leaflets for the Jehovah's Witness. Jim, show them where the door is. I don't want people to be ignorant. I don't think you ought to raise your children in biblical ignorance. Raise your children according to the words of God. Show them. Number one, let your children see mom and dad reading the Bible. Let your children see mom and dad reading the Bible. Okay? I would have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. That's where we came from. He doesn't want us going back to that. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And then he's going to say this again. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God. There you have the Godhead right there. Same God, which worketh all and in all. And the purpose of these gifts, but the manifestation of the diversities of operation, but manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. This is all about, and I believe that when you profit in one way, let me just say it this way, because I don't want to sound like I'm Benny Hinn or something like that. If you're profiting spiritually, it is irrelevant to you if you profit in any other way. Because I can tell you, if you are happy and blessed in your spirit, then the conditions of your physical life matter not. And if you don't believe, and that is the total opposite of the gospel that is being preached, not just by the charismaniacs, but also by the feel-good emergent church and the purpose-driven stuff. The Hope and Joel Osteen, their whole message is that if you get plugged into their system, all of a sudden you're going to look good, and you're going to feel good, and you're going to have money, and you're going to go on nice vacations and live in a nice house like Joel and Victoria does, and everything will be nice, and everything will be howdy-doody time for you. That is not the Bible. It's not biblical. Now, I will say that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. But if your motivation is for gain, it's not godliness. See, you seek out the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is for your spiritual profiting. And if you're being blessed in your spirit, then it matters not if you're sitting in a jail cell with Silas. Amen. You can sit there and, Silas, what are we going to sing now? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. That's what they're singing in the jail cell there. They had profited spiritually. Even though they were in jail, they were in prison, they were condemned, they were chained to the wall, they had profited spiritually. And you couldn't put a frown on their face. You could not do that. Mike Hutzel, I heard him say one time, he said, you can't hurt a man like that. You cannot hurt a man like that when he's happy in his soul and he is profiting spiritually. And I'll tell you, we come from a people who lived before us who didn't have literally two nickels to rub together. But they had a family Bible. And they had an altar in their home. And Papa would read the Bible and Mama would sing songs. And this was how our grandfathers were raised back before radio and television. This is what they did. And they didn't have nothing but a pair of overalls, one pair of shoes that they didn't wear every day because they didn't want to wear them out because they wasn't going to get a new pair. But they were happy. And they were blessed. They had profited because God had given them wisdom far beyond what anybody else in the world had. And they knew it. If I can get you to do anything, people, these things are gifts that God gives to us freely. You don't deserve them, by the way. I don't. I know I don't. We don't deserve them. But these are precious gifts that our God gives to us for our profiting and for our blessing. Access them. Access them. They're right here. Use it. You'll be happy. Appreciate you coming. I'm going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Snow's coming down a lot heavier now. Yep, here it comes. And we got a long day ahead of us. So, I apologize. I tried to get that. In the future, always go to the church website if you can. Because if something's going to happen, I'll tweet it. And all my tweets are posted on the church website. They're all there. Or you can set it up with Twitter, and you can actually, when I tweet something, it'll go to your phone. It'll be like a text message. Beep, 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 beep. Okay? Huh? Beep, 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 beep. That's how it used to be on my old phone, all right? I got a new phone now, and it's like, boop, 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 boop. I don't know what it is. I have to change that. Anyway, do what? Yeah. I used to have a ringtone. No kidding. I had a ringtone for when Lisa called me. And it was a siren that would go off and a guy would say, "Warning! It's the wife! It's the wife! Warning!" And I had that on my phone. I landed in an airplane somewhere and I turned your phone on in the airplane while I was going to the gate. Turned it on and people were going. Because you're nervous anyway on a plane anyway. So anyway, who's got something needs to be prayed about this morning? Let's take some prayer requests and pray, all right? Yes, Mark. Pray for Kim this morning. Amen. I know what that's like. Yes, sir.
Well, my family dealt in Florida, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
My sister called. Both three girls.
Listen, let that not be named amongst God's people. Listen, you're better off to let the world have your mom and daddy's junk. I don't care if it's a $500,000 CD. You're better off to let the lost world have your mom and daddy's junk than to fight over it. Be like Abraham. Amen. Go ahead, Roy. I'm sorry.
One thing that
Yeah. All right.
I'll start with them.
Amen. Yes, Taylor. Okay. They need prayed for. Okay. Anybody else? Got a prayer request? Something you want to pray about? Pray for your country. Well, you ain't kidding. Yes, Linda C. Okay. Okay. Sure thing. Lisa. Yeah, Alicia and Michael is going to try to come back from Dallas this weekend. They like to never got down there. Now they'd like to never get back. So pray for them. Pray for Courtney. Pray for Lindsay. We got babies coming. All right? So, yes, Brian.
John Martin picking up something.
Yeah, amen. Pray for Brian. All right? Andrea, how's yours working so far?
It's working well. I'm praying for the boys every day just because they need it.
Amen. She and Antonio deal with the roughest.
We're in the same group.
Yeah, same group. And they're working at juvenile delinquent center. Okay? These are the roughest. Out of 13-year-old boys, you'd be amazed at what these guys will do. Have done already. Okay? It's not just talk. They've done it. So pray for them. Anybody else? Pray for our soldiers. Amen to that. Bonnie. Pray for Roy. Okay. Yes, Joe. Pray for Rose and Joe and all the youngins and family members and everything like that. They need this Bible. They really do.
Let's remember our president.
Amen. Pray for the President of the United States, people. Okay? Let's come in and pray if y'all want to. Let's just have an altar of prayer this morning. All right? Appreciate y'all coming. Our Father and our God, we come before you this morning, God, and I do thank you, God, for, Lord, letting us have church, for letting us come into your house, God. Lord, it means the idea, Lord, of the thought of not being able to come back to this place, it's not a good thought. Lord, I need to be here. My family needs to be here. Our church, we need to be here, God. We thank you, Lord, for letting us come here. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be together and to worship you and to study your word. And Lord, we need that kind of wisdom. Lord, the older I get, the more I realize, God, that the decisions that I make, God, I realize the impact of the things that I do. And Lord, it's a sobering thought to realize, God, that I could do something stupid. I could make a stupid judgment or something like that. And it affects a lot of people. Lord, I need biblical wisdom. I need counseling, God. I need, God, what the Holy Ghost gives me. I need spiritual things. So, Lord, that I can lead my own life the right way. I can lead my marriage and my family the right way. And I can lead this church the right way. And all these, Lord, that are watching and tuning in and listening to what I have to say, God, I need wisdom. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would put it in our heart, Lord, to know that Bible. That we're just going to read it and study it, try to remember part of it, make some notes on it, like we was in school again. Lord, we would know what that book says. Lord, that in any situation in life that we're in, all of a sudden, scripture verses are coming to mind. Lord, that's the sign and the evidence, God, of someone who truly has the Spirit indwelling in them. They run into a situation in life and you've just shown them the Word without even having a Bible in their hand. Lord, that's good evidence. Lord, give us that wisdom to make those good decisions that we need to make. Lord, for every area of life, Lord, if it's just buying clothes,
going on vacation. Lord, no matter what it is, give us wisdom, Lord. Lead us in your paths and in your steps. And Father, we thank you, dear God, for all the things, Lord, that have been mentioned, prayer requests that have been given. And Lord, we lift up one another this morning. Lord, I pray for my wife and I pray for my children. And Lord, help my boys, God, to have a hunger and a thirst, Lord, for what's right. Help my girls, dear God, as they lead new families. Help them to be a blessing to their husbands. Help them, dear God, to be a fit role model for their children. Father, bless my sons-in-law. Help them, dear God, to have a hunger and a thirst, Lord, for things that are right. Help this church, Lord. Bless our marriages. Bless husbands and wives and families, God. Help us to love one another more. Help our marriages to be fruitful, Lord, for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, we just ask God that you would protect us and get us home safe. And Lord, Father, we rejoice, Lord, that we were able to fellowship with you and fellowship one with another. Lord, we ask God for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord God, for you to take us, Lord, as children. Lord, if we need chastening, Lord, you chasten. If we need correction, God, would you correct us? Lord, Father, we just ask God that you would let us be your children and you would be our Father. We'll receive an inheritance, Lord, that the world cannot take away. Bless this day and bless this service and hear our prayers, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.